You know drag race is gearing up when you see fights breaking out all over social media on what is and what isn't drag. Good God, girl, get a grip. It's all drag. Just because you don't like what a queen is serving doesn't mean somebody else doesn't find it delicious.
Today, drag queen Ava Styles joins us to take a look at some legendary and not so legendary fights drag queens have had over the years. From big names in the business to queens who just can't keep their opinions in their purse.
Plus, a child comes out as trans to their parent with a surprising twist.
Grindr releases controversial new emojis.
A couple gets into trouble with the cops for faking a murder with ketchup.
And Joni Sledge, the singer best known for the disco anthem We Are Family, has died. She was 60.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Right now, you have Feast of Fun in your ears because for the last 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind, in-depth programming. If you like the show, please make a donation at feastoffun.com/donate. And if you didn't like the show, make a donation anyway to help us improve.
You know Drag Race is about to get started because on my social media feed, everyone's getting into a tussle. And in the past, there used to be a lot of conflict because, you know, when it comes to being a gender nonconforming artist, there's always going to be high emotions and things that are high at stake.
Right. And this happens in all communities of art. So, you know, whether you're a performer, you're a comedian, you're a musician, it's bound to happen.
And so originally we used to call this drag wars, but I think at this point it's now the shade awakens. To take a look at sort of the history of drag queens fighting with each other, and hopefully we can find some resolution. Our goal to do this podcast today is to bring some peace, some understanding, some reconciliation. Mm-hmm. Into our community, because ultimately drag is about artists expressing themselves in creative and exciting ways and breaking down those walls of performance and politics, art and gender.
And, you know, art is subjective. So if something you don't like doesn't mean that other people are not going to like it.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So joining us today is a drag queen who moved from Nebraska because she was trying to avoid all the conflict, all the infighting that was happening in her little community into the big city of Chicago. Hoping things would be much easier here, but she just found another drag room brawl unfolding. Welcome, Ava Styles. Yes, girl.
Round of applause.
Aren't you glad you got out of those cornfield mazes in Nebraska to make it to the big city?
Well, with the intro like that. Gosh, I mean, that is a big reason why I left for sure, but I mean, shit, everybody fights. You're going to fight with people. Some of the greatest people you ever love. It'll fucking happen, but
just because you fight at one point in time doesn't mean you can't kiss and make up.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's maturity.
Believe it or not, you know, I think it was last summer, was it Gia Gunn and The Vixen? You guys know them. Gia's from RuPaul's Drag Race. The Vixen is from Cooking with Drag Queens, and they were fighting with each other because there was an article in The Reader that was sort of like, instead of lifting up the drag queens of color here in town, it was also like, forget Drag Race, these bitches are where it's at, right? And so Gia Gunn said, how can you, you know, it's like, not just lift these girls up without tearing them down? And I guess Vixen took that as a personal attack, and they got into a tussle on social media. Well, Ava reports back today that they kissed and make up.
Well, yeah, I mean,
was it with tongue? I bet it was with tongue.
Here's the thing, this is not even just referencing with them. I think like in any space, whether you're Rue Girl, Pageant Girl, mixture, whatever, in between, adjacent, we are going to be in a tight space. We're artists who are sensitive about our shit. Are we allowed to cuss?
Of course you are. We did a podcast about
fuck
that.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I'm just being dumb. But yeah. You know, we're gonna get into a tussle, and sometimes, you know, we all have big ass egos, and you know, the bigger the ego, the easier it'll bruise. And I think on the other side it was a little bit more of the bruise and not the non television
people love to
side.
See queens fighting with each other.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. it's a total rubbernecking situation, but also in the same aspect we can turn around and be like, hey girl, I had a breather, I may be taking that a little too far, I'm sorry, because we have to work together. You're going to be interacting with this person at some point, sometime, or you know, maybe, you know, whether it's in a professional workspace or you're just partying, or hey, you know, I maybe sit down and reflect that we're really, really good friends and this is not worth it. So it's going to happen both ways. You're going to fight and you're going to think about it and you're going to be like, hey girl, sorry, my bad. You were wrong. I was wrong. Whatever. Hug, kiss. Let's do some poppers.
Let's rewind the clock here. And all the way into the early 90s in New York City's drag and club kid scene, when a young girl from the Brewster Projects, who actually isn't from the Brewster Projects, she's from the suburbs of
San Diego, California,
RuPaul and Lady Bunny and other drag queens were trying to make their way in New York City's club scene, and a drag queen named Hedda Lettuce
allegedly
was talking shit about them and trying to get them fired from their gigs, and that's why Hedda Lettuce will not ever be on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Allegedly.
Even though Hedda Lettuce has come on this podcast begging RuPaul to get her on the show and to forgive her.
Elephants don't forget.
Neither do fierce drag queens, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so Hedda Lettuce is persona grata in some drag circles because they've had sort of butted heads back in the day.
And so if you... I wish I had more tea on that. The only thing I remember is like, well, I was talking to Lady Bunny on the podcast, and she goes, now I know I talk a lot of shit about a lot of people. I do talk shit about Hedda Lettuce, but to be perfectly honest with you, I just don't like her. And she was just like dead serious. She was just like, these other people I might make fun of, but like, I like them. Her, I don't like.
See, but like, I think the biggest difference is like, Lady Bunny says very, very hateful jokes, and you get that it's a joke. Mm-hmm. And like with Hedda Lettuce, never personally met her, but like growing up and, you know, following her career, and which is side note, the fact that she's begging to be on Drag Race is a little sad because it's kind of like Mariah Carey doing a reality TV show. It's like,
oh, don't go that far.
But I'm just saying, like, girl, you're supposed to be among the quote, I'm using air quotes here, quote unquote legends. You're begging to be on a reality TV show for drag queens.
Listen,
girl, are you fucking, you're supposed to be up there with Lip Synca and all them bitches. Like, are you fucking serious right now?
Listen, there's a lot of very well established queens that do very well with their careers and they make their coin, but there's other ones that have been established and they look at what the girls from RuPaul's Drag Race are making and doing, and they're a little surprised, you know? So they're snatching up some of those gigs. Now, we did see Hedda Lettuce perform once, and I got to tell, there's a local drag queen, and her name is Velicity.
Velicity.
With a V.
And Hedda Lettuce was up on stage. She goes, hi, what's your name? And she's like, Velicity. And she's like, Felicity. And she's like, no, Velicity with a V. And she just looked at her, well, Velicity with a V, your name's stupid. I think she actually used the R name, and she did not like that. And every time I see her, and every time I bring that up to her, she doesn't like that either.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, the thing with Hedda I never really got was that, like, and I love comedians. I grew up on a lot of comedians, and it's always like the tone, the speed of their voice to deliver that punch or that joke. Mm-hmm. And with Hedda, half the time I'm like, is she joking or is she just being a cunt? Like, I don't know. She's never really delivered.
She's a funny performer, and I enjoy seeing her work. At the same time, you know, with a lot of these queens, like, you know, I'm a fan of some of these Rue girls. And I love watching their videos, but I would never want to share a dressing room with them or be on a bus. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some really difficult interpersonal people who are great entertainers, and you can love them from afar, but when you get to know them a little bit closer, it's curtains.
I think I've been lucky. A lot of the Rue girls I've met have been lovely. Trust me, I've heard the fucking demon stories. Yeah, because
you're trying to get on RuPaul's Drag Race.
No. I can't even... I think I auditioned once a couple years ago.
I only audition every year.
Well, okay, I don't have green hair.
The big fight that used to happen here in Chicago was cisgendered queens getting angry about trans queens stealing up all the gigs because they were so fishy.
Mm-hmm. And this was around 2006, 2007. We had a drag queen on the show, and her name was Regina Upright, you know, named after the vacuum cleaner, because she sucks. And so she came, she came on to talk about it because, you know, she was like, a lot of these drag gigs were like drying up. And this is right before Drag Race happened. So people weren't all that interested in drag queens. But we were, and we were interviewing the drag queens. And they really felt that they were losing a lot of the jobs to like places like the Baton and to Kit Kat Lounge, because these girls who are, you know, are trans, they can wear like little pasties on their boobs, and they can wear next to nothing, and people are like, wow, and they're really dazzled by it. And they, she feels like, oh my god, they don't even have to wear much makeup, they don't have to do much of their hair, they can just come out and shake their tatas, and they're getting all these gigs. Meanwhile, you know, I've got to wear a foundation, I've got to wear this, I have to wear that, I have to put a wig on, I have to do my makeup right.
Tight, and she's
like, I'm going from like a boy or a man, really, and into female, presenting myself as a female, and it's a lot more work, and it's time consuming, and I'm just not getting the money. And it was just, it really, she questioned like, do I even want to stay and do drag?
And she didn't stay in drag. She had a garage sale and sold all her stuff. And that was the end of it, right?
She moved out of town. I don't know what happened. Yeah. But I think she continued to do drag for a couple years after that kind of fallout. But like, it was kind of the stink here for a while. It was like, really, it was the cisgendered male queens versus like some of the trans queens.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the trans girls involved in that tussle, Kennedy Monroe, right? She made a video that said, Feast of Fools needs to be stopped. Because we are tearing this community apart.
Was she picking eating outside of your apartment? Like,
it was I guess she felt that maybe by talking about the conflict that we somehow escalated it in some ways, and because this was at a time when social media really wasn't a big thing.
It's kind of fresh, you know, people don't know how to handle it,
and I'm still learning how to do it,
and probably we weren't as good at dealing with this maybe then, and probably maybe we were escalating it, but I felt like the video was so funny that inspired me to get back in drag and create the character of Saltina, which I really was a loving tribute to Kennedy Monroe and all these really great gender nonconforming people we had met through the series, you know. But I also like that Kennedy Monroe was just like, she wanted us. She was so mad at us.
We were like the beast, and she was Gaston coming for us.
All because you were talking about it.
Yeah.
Something that was in the public eye anyways.
Like, I think we were probably not as sympathetic as we could have been. No. And we were sort of
maybe a little sensationalist.
And we were, giggling about it, you know. There was a drag queen named the psychic drag
queen.
That's
a good drag name, Shit. What's your name, Shit?
My friends have this joke. We always joke about, like, we've always wanted there to be, like, this super, super glamorous drag queen. And this is back when, you know, pageants were the hierarchy of drag. So, like, a queen to come out and, like, contestant number three coming out for evening wear. And she's sending, please welcome to the stage, Poop Face. So, it's like this glamorous, like her, like the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, but her name is Poop Face. Like, how imagine how funny that would be.
So there was another drag queen whose not name is Poop Face or Fuck. Her name is Lady Vera Parker, but a lot of her victims may call her
victims.
Poop face or Fuck. She was arrested for check embezzlement. I'm not sure how it was settled.
I don't know if it's technically check embezzlement, what she would do.
Fraud.
She was arrested for renting out apartments and collecting security deposits for apartments that she did not own or even have keys to. And she would even give the victims keys and they'd go to the door and be like, what the fuck's going on here?
Oh my God.
From Craigslist ads. So it was a lot of people that were suckered into it.
I know.
And
this.
Then allegedly, she was also promising people plane tickets home to do a gig in Tennessee or Kentucky, right?
I think Louisville, Kentucky. She had flown some dancers down there because she was going to be in a pageant, and they were her backup dancers. She bought them one-way tickets. For whatever reason, they still got on that plane and only had one-way tickets back. Because in her mind, you know,
and she was going to win.
This is part of the thing. It's like, you know, people get involved in these kinds of scams, and a lot of it's delusional. And she, in her mind, thought, I'm going to win this pageant, and I'll get the money, and I'll be able to fly these people back. And she was not able to fly them back. And so she rented a U-Haul truck to get herself back. and I guess was living in it
with her drag in it.
Yeah.
And I guess the police arrested her while she was living in her U-Haul truck with all her drag inside. Mm-hmm. And so we did this podcast called Run Lady Vera Parker Run. Because part of us kind of, there was so much audacity and broken dreams and hope in Lady Vera Parker's desire to become a successful drag queen. This is in the early days of Drag Race, right? And so
Drag Race is happening. This is like 2008, 2009.
Yeah, 2009, it was kind of admirable that how much she was kind of like a Bonnie and Clyde, you know, Thelma and Louise kind of personality, right?
It sounds like she did it for real life. Oh my God.
So there's been a, I guess most recently, now that Drag Race is in season.
But she's back. Did you want to
update her? Yeah. So I'm sorry. Lady Vera Parker's back, I guess, the new career as a celebrity psychic out of drag. And she got on The Real Housewives of New York.
What?
And
as
she was
a psychic.
As
she
was a psychic, giving, like,
Sophia, is that one of the people? She was giving them a reading.
And so she was on a morning television here in Chicago that gives like advice on like, you know, giving sperm facials is a good idea. And
oh
shit,
my
like,
God.
They're which tabloid television. Mm-hmm. And so she was here in this morning and she was like, I'm a celebrity psychic to Beyonce and all these other people, which she probably isn't. But who knows? You know, there's no way of verifying. Like,
yeah.
If I said, oh, I do a private podcast to Beyonce all the time, they're like, well, prove it. I'm like, well, my non-disclosure doesn't allow me to release any details of that podcast. You know,
so protest too much.
So Lady Vera Parker's back on the scene out of drag as a psychic. Mm-hmm. Now, this season with RuPaul's Drag Race unfolding, and I'm mostly getting these news from Eva. Is a lot.
I'm just relaying what's all over social media.
There's like, stuff on Reddit and on Facebook. And
Reddit, I still haven't followed. I only discovered what Reddit was. What was it last year when like the rumors of me being on the show?
Were.
No, I really didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And then when people were saying that like I was rumored to be on Drag Race, I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, put your name in Google and type up Reddit. And I'm like, okay. And then all these shit and stories came up, and I was just like, what?
People were speculating that you were a season 9 contestant.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I was at home and going to work.
And that job went to Nina Bonina Brown, who recently is fighting with the whole world right now. I guess she's getting into a tussle with one of her fans. She's getting a tussle with somebody else because she wore something off of Amazon.
This is a local girl. I don't know Veronica Pop, but she shared something on Facebook.
Hey, Veronica girl.
And so at the season 9 premiere, she showed up wearing, like, you saw her on the red carpet, right? And she was wearing like a black and white outfit. She had that monkey prosthetic face thing going on. Well, I guess when she was on stage, you know, with RuPaul for her performance, she wore this women's two-piece going commando suit that obviously was bought
was
from
like
Amazon. And this is what Veronica wrote. She goes, Mary, I'm all for the creative makeup and prosthetics for your premiere look yesterday, but girl, how are you going to stand next to RuPaul wearing a $32.90 plus free shipping outfit from Amazon? I mean, I'm glad you received it on time, but girl, it's RuPaul's Drag Race season 9 premiere, and if you decided to give the children a women's two piece going commando look, hashtag shooked. So that's the new drag.
Well, all I know is that Amazon Prime has saved me many a times. So
me too, man. Some of my best drag comes from purchasing online.
I mean, I have a lot to say about that because even before Drag Race, there's always like this big thing of like mall drag. Don't go shopping at the mall for drag and stuff like that. Like, get your stuff made and make it bigger and better. It's, you know, I think it, no matter what you wear, it's all in how you style it and all how you rock it. Like, I totally get what Veronica's saying, but like, in the same jest, like, I've seen many of girls who get these like evening gowns made and they just throw a shit ton of rhinestones on it. And meanwhile, like, the fabric is like, you know, looks cheap and the outfit is cheaply made. Like, I don't, it could be $3,000 and it could be $2. Like, if you rock it well, you rock it well. And if that's your choice, that's
and
your choice.
And a lot of times you can mix and you mix. Some stuff you make and sometimes you just buy.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have time to make couture if you're working 4 or 5 nights a week. But the hell are you going to do that?
I mean, Veronica clocked her and she clocked her. My only thing is that like with Nina is that she's so defensive about everything. Like, if she would have just laughed it off.
I have not seen her chime in on this yet.
Oh, she's on there.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's on there.
What was her response? Did you see it?
I kind of skimmed it because I was looking. It was like later on because even other Drag Race girls were like going in about it. And I'm just like, if you don't read the fucking comments and you don't fucking go apeshit crazy, you're not going to give a lot of power to it.
Ah, apeshit crazy. I see what you did there. Well, I like what Eve Summers wrote. She says, let's be real. Bob wore a $20 Amazon bodysuit on the runway last season with even worse makeup, and he won the season.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And also, back to Bob, he didn't freak out about it. Like, I remember I saw the comparison, like, oh, he got that $10 robot outfit. Did Bob go on people's comments like, fuck you? No. And he didn't give power to it. And no one cared. They were on to the next episode.
What do you think? I'm going to tell you, it's like when I found out that Bob stole that unitard, I went and
stole it.
Well, you know, like bought it and wore it and passed it off as his own.
Well, don't we always pass it off on our own? I mean,
and I was like, I got to use that technique too. That's a great idea. I admired him for that.
You know? I didn't realize that was part of it. So he tried to say he made it or something.
Well, because the challenge was to make a costume that was like future. I think it was
it was
so she
it was
actually the roller something she had made when well, on Drag Race.
It was just the challenge of that was actually it was a roller skating challenge, and they were supposed to get like robot. That's why she was like almost falling, but she wore that cheap robot costume, and then she did the white hair and the makeup, and I'm like,
but
who cares?
It was meant to be interpreted that or understood that this is something you created for the show, therefore that, and I thought she had bought a unitard and painted it silver, you know, but no, this is something that actually exists that anybody can purchase. And so I was like, more power to you, because it actually saved time to prepare for other looks.
She just got slips her it on
crown.
And
I was like, this is a good idea, and I think it's a good technique, and I actually want to encourage queens to sort of like think less about, you know, maybe one aspect of their costume and the big picture. How does the audience respond to what you do on stage?
And no offense to a lot of the audience, but a lot of people are dumb. They don't really.
It's not about they dumb. Really are.
Not in an assaulting way. It's just the only way I can really find the use.
And they don't.
Like, they don't really see the true magic for it's there. Like, okay, for example, me as a drag queen, because the fact that I work with makeup and wigs all the time, I now go in public and I could spot like bad eyelashes and a bad wig like that. And I had to look at the person next to me and be like, that's a really bad wig. They're like, how can you tell?
I'm kind of like that. I'm kind of like that person.
They don't have the trained eye. They don't know.
Other time I see it though too, and it falls apart.
Well, this happened to me last night. Like, we were filming a Cooking with Drag Queens, and it was a Hedwig and the Angry Inch themed episode.
Yeah.
And so I put on some makeup and turned on the 8-track and made myself look a little bit like John Cameron Mitchell from the Broadway production with the eyes. Mm-hmm. And the rest was sort of like tribute to the backup singers and the musicians. And so we went out with the guest out to the clubs, and there were some girls there, and they're like, why aren't you performing in this show? Do you have a problem with the show? You know? And I was like, listen, I'd be happy to do anything if somebody invites me to it and I have the time and the energy.
You just have to apply.
Yeah. And I'm like,
why can't you just walk around and drag? What's the problem?
Exactly. It was like, they were like trying to stop. And these were, you know, these were not drag queens. We were fans of drag queens. And I was like, listen, girls. Poof. Children,
what do you call poofs of fans of drag queens? That's your bread and butter.
That's my bread and butter. But these are people who are wanting to start some shit, you know. Yeah. And I nailed it down, you know, because I've taught in public schools. Mm-hmm. I could see the mean girls coming for me. Mm-hmm. I know the Lindsay Lohans, those shady girls coming up me, and I've been like, I snapped it down. I said, girl, it's okay. There's plenty of space, plenty of time for everybody, you know?
Let me get your opinion on this comment, because I was looking through all the comments on
Nina Bonita Brown.
And it was...
you finally found her comments.
I didn't find her comments, but I found comments from other people. Now, I've seen her comment on some other stuff, too, which we've talked about on this podcast before. Taylor writes, what people don't fucking understand is how rotten of a person Nina is. She has ran herself out of Atlanta with her awful-ass personality and awful-ass drag. She hasn't worked in Atlanta in years. She is rude and nasty. Y'all will see past her makeup looks, in quotes, and see who she is. best of luck.
Wow. See, but that can go two ways. Either he's really telling the tea, and I'm only saying this from experience, he could be just a person who just doesn't necessarily like her, and he sees her having, you know, the ultimate come up of being on RuPaul's Drag Race, and he's like, oh, look at this viral status, I'm going to leave some shade on her. Mm-hmm. So it could be two ways. We'll see on the show how she is, and if I happen to be here in person, we'll see how she is.
You've also seen her comment on some other things, though, too, which is questionable. Yeah. There was a woman who was a big girl, and she made some kind of comment against her looks, and she came for her weight and was telling her if you
I heard there was actually 400... more to that. Okay. I heard that there was, like, some earlier comments that, like... I don't know. I haven't seen them. So grain of salt. I heard there was actually more to that. And apparently, like, I guess that girl, quote unquote, got what she deserves. Although me personally, body shaming.
Yeah. Especially when you're a public figure coming for somebody like that and you're trying to.
And it's also uncreative. Yeah. Like if you're going to see a fat girl and say about how fat she is. Oh, wow. Big whoop. She hasn't been told her entire life. Come with a creative insult for once.
There was a woman 5 foot tall. She was 365 pounds. She was like, she just thought my whole life, I'm just, I've been this fat girl. I'm just going to stay fat. And then she was feeling kind of bad. And her son goes, you need to go to the doctor. And she's like, oh, I'll go to the doctor. She goes to the doctor. The doctor removed a 160-pound tumor.
Oh my
from
God.
Her body.
It was a tumor. It was a tumor.
That sounded really good.
Could you imagine that? So if you're, everybody, if you're overweight, go see a doctor. You might have some kind of tumor in there.
I have a
you
friend
don't
here. She had like a giant like cyst or something in her stomach. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I always thought I had this big old pot belly. But then she went in for some kind of complication. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, you have like the cyst the size of like a watermelon in her stomach.
Did they lance it and all this pus came out?
I don't know. I guess she, ooh, I wanna film she didn't tell me the detail, but she got it taken out, and I was like, all right, girl, for that instant weight loss, bitch, you better go shopping for some new clothes, girl. Like,
Vivacious on the podcast said to Nina Bonina, chill out, love the world, focus on the people that are lifting you up. There's always going to be people who want to start shit, And I think Nina Bonina was appreciative of it. And she said, thank you for not coming for me. Because she was already, like, on the defensive. Trixie Mattel and, Detox? Mm-hmm. I got into a fight?
Yeah.
You remember that? I don't even know the details of it.
I don't really... It's been so vague. I guess there was some kind of huff-puff, I guess, like, allegedly. I guess... Trixie was like,
well,
being
text Trixie right now.
What was the fight about again? I forgot.
I know social media has just been on fire, girl.
But she basically said something disparaging about girls in West Hollywood, and Detox was like, oh, hell no. And then is that what it was, or
alleged? I mean, I don't know,
because
I saw some things, and I saw, I guess, like there was like a lot of vague comments from like Delta's Facebook too. Look at all this shit that we're.
Wait, what about Sharon Needles and Jeffree Star?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Now this is really interesting because I guess Jeffree Star came for Sharon Needles, and now Fifi O'Hara and Sharon Needles, who have been lifelong frenemies, are now like uniting against
BFFs.
The monster that Jeffree Star is.
Okay, but you want to know how this all started, though? Dumbest thing. It started off by a dumb meme a fan made.
Mm-hmm.
A fan, like, you go on Instagram, you see like those like side-by-side things, and the newest meme thing now is to go like, this is, they'll take like a quote-unquote glamorous photo, and they'll put like a similar photo next to it, but make it quote-unquote ugly.
Yeah.
So they were like, this is me, and this is me when I moved my Snapchat filter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was the glamorous photo was Sharon Needles, and the quote unquote ugly photo was Jeffree Star, which he's problematic all in himself. But Jeffree Star saw this and was all like, my network is better than hers, and that, but like was very rude to Sharon. But still was like very direct and rude to Sharon, as if Sharon made the goddamn meme for some reason.
And why not just laugh that off or just keep on moving?
Exactly. Just like Nina's problem.
I don't know if this has changed, but I know that like Sharon really looked up to Jeffree Star because he was a MySpace superstar. And like, she was just like, he was at one point in time, it was like, an idol for her.
Yeah, Jeffree Star. Because Sharon Needles loves like that, like those people who really like swim in that what's with the plastic surgery and the fake, like the fake glamour
body modification.
Yeah, like the Hollywood kind of like modification. Like
you just jumped out of a La Chapelle.
Yeah, she loves people like that, and Jeffree Star, you know, kind of falls in that realm. So I can see why he has like this admiration for her. So for Jeffree Star, just and again out of nowhere to be very very rude to him, he's like, okay, fuck this bitch. So he made it. He finally made a meme of himself, and it was.
What was it?
I think it was like Jeffree Star's overall hair and shoulders or whatever, but he put Caitlyn Jenner's face on Jeffree Star's face and said, like, this is really your net worth.
You know, you really got to admire Sharon Needles for her sense of humor.
And then followed it up with like a video of like a cat like shitting in a litter box.
Oh yes.
And then took like sticks of the Jeffree Star like matte lipsticks and was throwing it in like the shitty cat litter box as the cat was shitting.
I really admire that Sharon went out and bought some Jeffree Star makeup.
She already had it.
Or she already had it.
Yeah, she admires him.
So she's part of fan. It is it's like Jeffree Star's like, well, if you're going to insult me, at least you're buying my makeup to insult me with, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess, because you're giving him the money to do it, unless he got it all for free.
Maybe. He's got a promotional things. And then here, I guess like 4 months ago, we reposted an episode that was called that was addressing how some drag queens are a little smelly, stinky because they either they have to recycle their clothes, right?
They put it in suitcases.
Drag is very, very hard to wash.
Drag's hard to wash. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're hanging out in a club and you don't get a chance to untuck and pee or poop, so you have to wear diapers.
I'm a very sweaty, very oily person, so like I have to. I'm very, very like self-conscious about BO issues, especially in drag, because I've smelled myself and I'm just like, oh my god, like where's the old lady perfume? Like
stuff won't even cover it up. You gotta air that shit out, you gotta dry clean it, you gotta Febreze it, you gotta
put some sunlight.
Kill it.
That's actually some of the worst things. If like, let's say you're really, really tired, you leave all your shit in your suitcase and stuff like that, to have all that sweat in that dark, dank suitcase, and it's just building up all that bacteria, and you open up that suitcase.
We knew a queen that did that, and she had her breastplate in there, and it started growing green mold on it.
Ooh.
Yes.
And so Peaches Christ said that part of it is that you're just at a club standing around for hours talking to people, and your breath can get a little reeky.
Yeah.
And so she her technique is that she chews gum, and so much that, in fact, when she was in the movie Milk, she was caught in between takes, which she didn't realize it was a take, just smacking gum mindlessly.
Trying to keep her breath fresh.
That's another thing I have. I have my favorite, that mango flavored trident gum is fucking delicious, and it makes you overall smell good for some reason. But yeah, because I get cotton mouth really bad when I'm performing.
I don't know if some of these queens here in Chicago got wind of that podcast or something, but like we went out last night and there was a couple queens that I was like, and I kind of like strong body odors. It's kind of sexy to me, I think. And
to each their own.
And to each their own. But I could see like, I was like, yeah, there's some queens who should be smelling like lilac and lavender, and they smell like a men's locker room.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're trying to sort of like create a gender illusion, it sometimes brings you out of the illusion. You're like, this is a man's body, you know? Mm. And so some queens got into a fight because some of them was like saying, listen, if you're going to be getting all this money for a gig, you should be making sure your body odor is
right.
If
you smell, you shouldn't be paid for your gig. Is that how it went?
Yeah, and I think that's a little harsh.
More than one person said that, but one person got the brunt of the why are you saying that?
And so you posted a status update sort of about it, and now you took it down, and I know you don't feel comfortable talking about it, but I think...
But we're going to talk about it anyway.
Well, and the reason I'm bringing it up is because I was hoping that if they're listening to this, whoever's involved in this conflict, to forgive the other person for maybe, you know, their trespasses, and maybe get a little bit of historical context. Like, think about all these queens and people who have fought amongst each other for generations, and ultimately do you don't want to look back on your life and be like, hey, you know, it's like I was Was I fighting for equality? Was I fighting for healthcare? Was I fighting for restitutions, for education, for arts education? Or was I fighting because, you know, somebody dissed me at the club and said something on their social media feed?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially now, like in this, like, Hitler 2.0 era we're in right now, like there's way bigger things we could be fighting about. And yes, we are capable of having more than one worry and even little annoyances, but we more than ever, we have to band together. And I kind of hate when like these little things are kind of drifting us apart. It's really annoying. It brings me back to like where I came from. I left a very, very, very negative environment, which was heightened by small town mentality, where it got very vicious. Mm-hmm. Like, girl, I can tell you some stories. Like, there's pageants back there that, like, one girl would be on stage for one category, and backstage someone was putting super glue in her dress or mace in her makeup or, you know, something like that.
I guess the question here is, like, there's obviously going to be a lot of discrimination and bigotry and inequality in any community.
Yeah.
And I mean community, like, people who know each other, who exist in the same spaces and see each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it, and, you know, how can we effectively address this so we are better than where we are right now? And instead of like sort of attacking each other, what's a better solution than that? I mean, you know, because sometimes sometimes you need to call people on their shit. You know, and what's a more effective solution than posting a social media status update?
I mean, if you can't avoid, I mean, yeah, there's points when you do have the call somebody on their shit, but like also. I always like to look at myself from an outside point of view. Like if I had somebody address me for the issue, how would I want them to address me in that matter? That's how I'm going to approach that person. And I think that's where these fights or arguments or misunderstandings happen, because it could be a misunderstanding. They may not necessarily know where you're coming from. They may not think that you're being as mean as you come off as. Like, look at yourself from an outside point of view. Think, is this person upset because I said this and this word and I'm direct, like all these different variables. I'm sorry, I'm going around in circles.
Because people want to see you guys fighting, and you know, the Star Drag Wars, The Shade Awakens. Ultimately, you know, we tune in for RuPaul's Drag Race or our favorite queens on social media. Part of it is because we want to see them sort of like push and instigate each other.
Yeah, but reality TV is kind of forgiven because it's like, it's set up, it's glamorized, it's got music in the background, lights, camera, action.
And the shade button, where is that?
Yeah. I have it on my phone. but like, social media,
play
especially
it.
Like...
Well, give me a shade sound.
Is my volume all the way up?
Yeah. Yes. What did she say about me?
Wait, what did you say, bitch?
What did you just say, bitch?
You did not just come for me, did you?
That is such a good sound. Whoever edited that sound into RuPaul's Drag Race initially deserves an Emmy.
What is that instrument?
That's it. I actually tried to buy one of those. It's called a snake something. A snake harp?
A snake harp?
Yeah.
People call it the snake rattle, don't they? What do they call it?
They call it the shady rattlesnake.
The shady rattlesnake.
Yeah, the shady rattlesnake. But no, what I was saying, like, with social media, especially like people who we know in person, it is sometimes it could be a little disheartening because the fact that you actually legitimately know that person and you work with that person and you're friends with that person. And I think especially here and, you know, other places, we really kind of put on this title that we are a community. And so when we see these overall fights, it kind of in a way disproves that we really are, that we're tight fit. And granted, we're fucking family. We're going to fight no matter what. But like, people on the outside don't really know that. So it can be a little bit of a bad look.
What was the name of the LA riots guy who said, can we all just get along? Rodney King.
Rodney King.
Aren't you just being
Lord
like the
Jesus?
Rodney,
I was about to say Johnny
Rodney
Cochran
of drag is like, maybe the fight needs to happen. Maybe the fight is good and it's healthy. And sometimes, you know, a blood purge is all you can do to heal the fever.
I guess, but.
But it doesn't make it a lot of fun.
No.
You know? And ultimately, it's like, this is an interesting thing because it was like Samuel Jackson recently was commenting about how Hollywood is giving these amazing roles to black actors. The problem he has is that they're not Americans, they're British.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're coming in from overseas. And John Boyega from The Force Awakens, he's like, What's wrong with that? You know, and part of it is like, you know, Samuel Jackson's like, I'm just pointing out that mm-hmm. Hollywood works racism or discrimination works in interesting ways. And it's not enough to just cast black actors. You're also casting them because they're British mm-hmm. and you're somehow ascribing they're better because they're European, not us, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. stinky Americans.
They're the good Negroes, not the bad Negroes. Pretty much is what Samuel Jackson is trying to point out. Well, that Hollywood
he's thinking,
is doing.
He's thinking the too that the people in the people of color in the UK don't have to deal with prejudice like that they've you know, like they do here in the United States, and yeah. you know, especially here with
they get, do, but it's nowhere out. Near what we. It's not heightened mm-hmm. as it is
well,
here.
Well, you know, it's not as high. The thing there is their police officers don't have guns. you know, most of them don't have guns, so they're not shooting people. But you know, there is certainly a lot of racism in the UK.
Yeah.
Hence Brexit. And I forget the lead guy who's the actor in Get Out. He was like, you know, when I go into a room, a lot of time I'm the darkest people there, and it certainly makes me feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm. That's Daniel Kaluuya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, also Samuel L. Jackson is like, he goes, because Daniel grew up in a country where they've been interracial dating for 100 years, Britain, there's only about 8 real white people left in Britain. What? So that's just like, you know, that's factually inaccurate.
Samuel Jackson. Yeah, oh, God. I hope he lives forever.
You know, before we started talking to Fausto pointed out that, you know, in the UK and in Europe, they spend a lot of money educating people, and they, you know, they haven't given up on their arts programs there, and the actors there take their craft very seriously, and they're very well trained.
Meanwhile, we're fighting to get any kind of funding towards the arts here.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, there's a lot of people in the UK that have a lot of abilities and talent, and they don't necessarily have the market for the work because, you know, in the UK, it's a smaller market. There's only, 55 million, 60 million people that live there. And so they come here to work.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's be real clear between, mm-hmm. You know, talent is infers that there's something inherent to the individual. Mm-hmm. And what I'm talking about is educational opportunities, mm-hmm. right? So in the United States, I'm sorry, in the UK and Australia, they put money into theater in the elementary school, high school, college level. To be a working actor means to make a living, to have a roof over your head. To be a working actor, regardless of your race in the United States, means to live a life of poverty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
I'm pulling this, you know, Trump figure out of my ass, but I would argue that probably 90% or more of actors struggle financially through the course of their lives and ultimately leave acting to pursue other careers. The people who actually make it big in Hollywood, or even drag queens, get on RuPaul's Drag Race. There's only 100 drag queens that ever been on RuPaul's Drag Race.
112 now? Or
112.
And what, 20 of them are maybe successful financially.
20 of them are successful financially, and part of it, some argue, is because they got a good edit.
Fucking right? E-word.
Or, I'm not an evil queen. I just got a bad edit. Available at our store, feastoffun.com/store.
And so, you know, I think if we want to see, and I think Samuel Jackson, you know, I really love his work and I really agree with everything he's saying. However, I would like to see us invest in educational and career opportunities for actors, American actors, and people especially at a disadvantage for any reason. To be able to hire locally, you know, because I think we owe that to ourselves as a community,
yeah.
as a society, you know, and I love, I gotta tell you, I'm as thirsty as they get for, Australian hunks. Like, what's this guy's name?
Liam Hemsworth.
Liam Hemsworth just put up a workout video.
Oh my God. People are going crazy over that.
Mm. on his I love Instagram. Him in that harness and it's pulling on him. I want one of those
and
harnesses.
He's grunting like,
I'm so weird. Like all these like,
you want a
hunky
body like that? You got to work out like that.
Yeah, that's
true. As Britney says, if you want a hot body, you better work, bitch. Now get to work, bitch.
I'm so weird. Like all these like stereotypical Holly hunks or Hollywood hunks are like, usually they're not my type. So usually I'm just kind of like
Chris Hemsworth is.
No.
You're bored by him too.
What do you like?
I'm weird. I like nerdy guys. I love like the kind of like social awkwardness. I kind of have like a weird
easy prey.
Not easy prey. No. I don't think they're easy prey at all. But like, I don't know. I've never like. There's some clean cutness that I enjoy, but like usually like the Hollywood, like gym bunny, I'm sort of wearing makeup, like super pressed guys. I've never really enjoyed like,
okay.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
A grinder maybe, you know, to grind the app, the hookup app, in order to get some more publicity, or maybe just to do something new for together people, you know, because it sometimes gets really boring on those hookup apps, right? You already fucked sometimes. Everybody in your neighborhood, and everybody else that you're interested in isn't interested in you, and vice versa. And so at a certain point, you just kind of give up on using these apps, and it's kind of boring. So Grindr, trying to keep things fresh, they just released a set of emojis that are meant for people to hook up with, and they had a giant letter D, which stands for the dick, right? And I a letter T that stands for Tina or crystal meth that they took down after people was like, what, you're promoting drug use on your app? Are you crazy?
Which T for Tina.
Yeah, I'm
that's according to Twitter. I don't know if that was really on.
There's other people reporting on it, and and they did had screenshots initially, and of course we
why the D off though? That doesn't make any
sense. The D, like, you are you ready for the D?
No, but I mean, like, why would they take that off? Like, I
they
don't,
kept the D, but they took off the T. Okay. Yeah, the T's not there anymore.
I'm still shook by this whole thing, because
when did shook become a thing?
Tumblr.
But wait, really? Focus on emojis. Talk about emojis.
The emoji, like, just discovering this today, I'm still like, what has happened?
Well, they're just trying to make it more interesting and play it more like a game. You know, people make are complaining, like, playful. They have the Bye Felicia, and Bye Felicia is a blonde girl being like, Bye Felicia. It's like, it's not the origin of Bye Felicia.
Are you, but I'm saying, here's my question. Are you going to really be turned on by a guy who's
using these emojis?
Who's saying, using these emojis Kiki. With a Snapchat filter of a crown of roses on his head and sparkles around his eyes saying, can I suck your dick and eat your asshole? Like, what?
Some of these are really, really cute.
Emojis. Every time so I told a guy cute, he ignores me.
Let me explain to the listeners here. So there's one that has a cocktail in front of it, says Kiki. And that's the first thing you see. There's two guys in a bunk bed, so you can choose to send the bottom bunk or the top bunk.
Oh my god!
And there's a blue pill that says you're on prep, and then there's like some candy hearts.
Don't believe them.
It says bye, girl. And then there's a wristwatch with the digital wristwatch that says 420, means you like to smoke pot and get high.
Because it's legal in some places, so I guess they can get away with that.
And then there's an ice cream cone that's rainbow, and then there's a man opening his mouth, and a rainbow's coming out.
Well, no, talk about the one we saw, the video head cleaner one.
And there is actually, if you have an iPhone Plus or large screen phone, regular size phones can't access this. But if you're one of the elite.
Because I have a Plus phone, so mine, like, I have a bit different screen than these guys.
Yeah,
which, I was like, look, I have a Poppers one.
And so we're like, we don't have Poppers.
Bottle. You got a Poppers bottle with a nose and huffing it.
Oh my god. Speaking of side note, what's the thing with Chicago with, like, because, okay, I've heard of Poppers, never done them, but, like, I've always associated them with, like, an in the bedroom kind of thing. When I first started going here, guys would be on the dance floor.
Yeah,
fucking
people
doing
use it in
the
clubs. And when they're dancing, some people just love you high.
And I'm just like,
poppers.
What? I was dancing. I was actually worked a nerve to like dance with this cute guy. I haven't seen him since, but we were dancing. It was my first nights at a club I love going to. And he turns around. He's like, what? And he puts this thing in my face. I'm just like, oh my god, this is.
This
and
is I was like, poppers.
Yeah, I was like, no, thank you, because I'm.
And for people who are not familiar who have never done poppers, it basically does to your brain.
Starves it of oxygen. Is that what it does?
It starves it of oxygen, and so
that sounds scary.
It makes it sound like this. Okay, so if you were wanting
up
to know
your muscles, so your sphincter, you can take a pounding.
Well, let me finish this, okay. So you can tell them that. So if you are wondering what that sound is, it's called a vibra slap. It's an African instrument that's made out of originally of the loose teeth of a dried out horse's jawbone. And so that's where you get that sound.
So they took these from Rue's mouth and they made it.
Wow.
And so, Mark, you're saying that with poppers, you can the reason they do it also is for anal sex.
Yeah, for anal sex, because it loosens up your sphincter. And people take them like when they're sucking dick, too, apparently. Because then they can get it all the way to the back of the throat.
I'm sitting here very sexually inexperienced.
You've never been with somebody and they were like pulled out poppers in the bedroom? I have some poppers in the freezer but right I've now. Been, do you want to try
I've
been I'm going to get some right now.
I've been with someone. No, I'm not doing it. Absolutely not. No.
Don't do that.
I've been with someone who pulled out meth. I didn't know it was meth.
You were like, oh, it's what did you think
it
was?
Baby powder? I didn't get so high.
Cocaine?
Well, I didn't like see it at first. And then the like what he was smoking it out of was like a regular a pipe. But, yeah. So I thought he was smoking weed at first. And then when
you're
I saw
like, let me hit that.
No. I just.
You don't do anything.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah. You
drink?
Socially.
But so you got on the pipe thinking it was crack. And
no,
it
no.
Was
I thought it was weed.
Like,
I thought it was weed because it was like the little like thing that most people have. Like, you know, the little thing you have your thumb on the side, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, Eva.
This already shows I don't do
it. Eva, crack is whack.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I will never do crack. If I ever audition for Drag Race, that will be my character.
Whitney? Oh, you'll be Whitney Houston?
Oh, down.
In a Barbara Walters interview, you know, it really broke my heart that she died because that was such a crazy out there interview. And I just something really admired about Whitney Houston's otherworldliness, you know, that just manic energy that she had.
Did you ever listen to her and the Wendy Williams interview?
No, it's good.
It made that Barbara Walters interview look like the most
toned down,
sophisticated interview in life because. Oh my God. It's.
Well, in Russia.
Like she threatens to kick Wendy Williams' ass.
When Reagan and Gorbachev were sort of making out and, you know, in the 80s and bringing down the Berlin Wall and all that stuff, there was a Russian expression that Reagan used called trust but verify.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained that to people today. I said, show me the receipts.
show me the receipts.
Show me the receipts.
You might as well give me a tax return that spent all this money. All this. Show me the receipts.
Show me the receipts. And that became part of our vernacular now. You know, it's like
like Shook.
Yeah. Shook.
So that's a Tumblr thing.
All this shit is Tumblr now. Okay. Like, and I don't. Again, I've never heard of Reddit. I haven't really been. I've tried to go on Tumblr. Didn't quite understand it. I'm old. I'm sorry.
But you know what you know about. Is Feast of Fun, and that's what matters, folks. Remember, Feast of Fun is made possible because of your financial support, hunties. Go to feastoffun.com/store and get yourself some fierce Shadelicious. The shade is strong with this one t-shirt. Honey, those shirts are made by us. We put some, you know, fierce drag queen DNA into the ink.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put that on, it's like a shield against the shade of the world. Be like, so I'm a shady bitch. So what?
There's a family in Detroit and
so mine's just really loud.
That is loud.
I like that.
A family in Detroit and their child Corey came out at 15 as transgender. You know, from male to female, and went up to her mom and said, you know, I told my mom I'm just like her. I knew I'm a girl, and then the mom was just like, well, hold on a second. You know, you're more like me in some ways. And then the mom was just like, you know, I'm transgender too, and started living life as a man. And I guess growing up, it was very difficult. She didn't know how to process it, and until she saw that TV show like I'm Jazz, and so she was able to see, you know, Jazz Jennings transition and, you know, become the fabulous person they are, and was very inspired by that, and said, you know, her whole life it was hard for her to wrap her head around it, and even like when she was younger, like when her breasts were developing, she's like, God, I hope I get breast cancer so I can just get these things removed.
Well, thank God she didn't look up the Caitlyn Jenner. Ugh.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone does look up to Caitlyn Jenner.
There must be some people that are inspired.
Remember when Caitlyn was first coming out, and like even people who knew that her background was just shitty, they were like, oh, you know, could do no wrong.
Mm.
This, you know, their
she's kind of like a pariah
now can do no wrong. And I remember like I got like a lot of flack too because the fact that like I was reminding people like, hey, this person funded people who kill transgender people. Mm. Like, can we, and I think like Ellen was giving a little bit of like a clue to that too with that whole interview. People didn't really realize that was like a lot of her issues with that.
Caitlyn Jenner still is a Republican even with Trump in office, and she's like, I'm just a little, I got a scolding to do with Trump, you know. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? And T.S. Madison read her to film.
Oh my God, that was I've watched it several times. That was amazing. Good.
Thank you, T.S. Madison.
But anyways, back to who the nice transgender people we were talking about.
Well, I don't know if they're nice, but they seem nice. You know, and they've had, like, so there's five kids in the family, and the couple are still staying together. She I guess she'll have two dads now, right?
Hey.
And the dad that just recently transitioned was kind of worried because, you know, in love with the husband, and then worried because the husband is heterosexual, what's going to happen? But they decided, he's like, I fell in love with this person, and that's who I love.
That's so awesome. So, you
know. So, I know, isn't that sweet?
I know that if I transitioned, Mark would love me regardless of my gender. In fact, he might like it even more. Wait,
hold on. Let me get the shade.
Say that.
Is there something you want to tell me?
No, I'm just saying that if that were the case, because Mark's always like, you know, if you want to transition.
I have said that to him.
Be my guest. And I'm like, I just enjoy being a tourist. I don't enjoy living here.
There was a couple in Ohio who they took pictures, like, I guess they put ketchup like all over the girl and like put ketchup on him. And like they sent pictures to their friend, like, I confess, I killed her. And so her friends were just like, they're freaking out. And so they called the police, and the police actually arrested them and charged them with inducing panic.
Because you can get arrested for
like
panic?
For inducing panic,
like yelling fire,
like yelling fire or something like that. And so, because like, you know, I guess their friends were all freaking out and calling the police, like, oh my god, this guy just killed somebody.
See, we had an accident with our dog Jesse. Jesse got into a fight with a rabbit, and the rabbit won.
And he chased a rabbit. I don't know how
as
we
big as this dog is. Oh my god,
rabbits can be vicious.
These wild rabbits can be vicious. Do not let your dog or cat fight with wild animals, no matter how entertaining it may be, or if the dog's whimpering and wants it to happen. So the rabbit, I guess, somehow his leg got cut and he was bleeding all over the place. And so we brought Jesse into the tub and had this huge mess, you know, and we took him to the veterinarian. And meanwhile, our sweet neighbor, Eric, came in and cleaned up the mess because we were worried that blood was just going to stick to everything.
Yeah.
And so he took a picture of the bathrooms, you know, just covered in blood, right? And texted it to us. And I posted it on social media and I said, what should I do with the body? And Vivacious, you know, wasted no time and says, feed it to a queen. And I said, okay, Vivacious, gobble up. And she said, no, some other queen.
I want to meet her so bad. I was rooting for her when she was on the show.
We gotta get her to Chicago. Somebody book her.
Can someone
please
book Vivacious?
Why is she not? She would fit in so well here.
Why aren't you organizing your own night and booking Vivacious right now?
Because I'm still getting my... I've been here for a year, but I've been performing for what? Breaking news.
Holy shit, stop the presses!
Wait, what?
We got Trump's tax returns tonight, Rachel Maddow.
Come on, Rachel.
Yes.
She has got the receipts.
She got the receipts.
Ooh, I hope it's something. I hope it's impeachable. Hope it's impeachable.
Going down.
Oh,
honey.
Man. What is. Ooh.
Talk about a wig snatching.
Everybody is going to be watching Rachel Maddow tonight, girl. Ugh. She is being taken down, the Trump and the Pence and the
Can
evil
the internet
Russian
please,
oligarchs.
You know that, like, that famous drag queen pageant in Brazil where, like, the girl won and she gets her wig and her crown snatched? Can the internet please do, like, a graphic thing where it's, like, it's Trump's face and then Rachel, like, comes from behind and snatches his fucking toupee off?
How did she get a copy of his tax returns?
Listen, people have been begging for copy of those tax returns. They've been begging to find that stuff.
Probably some queen was finally in that office and was like,
Here's the thing is, Trump's going to deny that those are his. I guess there's ways to verify that information, and that's going to lead into investigation and dun dun dun.
But her emails.
Oh my god.
But her emails.
I'm shook.
You shook it.
Meanwhile, George W. Bush just published a book of his paintings, and it's a bestseller, and everyone's like, why did you just become a painter? Mm-hmm. Why did you become a president? You know?
It's It's what he wanted to do, right?
I guess we would have had, you know, Jeb Bush or somebody else. Some other rotten person would have taken his job.
What's interesting is, you know, we've talked to some artists before, and they've said, because, you know, sometimes when artists make creations and paintings and drawings, sometimes they draw themselves or put themselves into whatever it is they're doing. And you can look at some of these paintings that he's done, and these people kind of look like him.
Their mouth especially.
Their mouth and, like, the nose and, like, the area between their nose and their mouth. What do they call that area again? I forget.
The lip.
No,
that the lip Cupid's channel. Well, your Cupid's bow is
that thing. But, like, the whole thing. Ask a trans person who's had facial feminization surgery. They know what it's called.
This area is the Cupid's bow here.
It's called something. Anyway, so that whole area, because his is kind of very distinct, so they all...
George W. Mm-hmm.
The
artist.
The artist, George W. Bush. And I guess I went to art school here in Chicago, and Jerry Saltz, who's he's a writer for, or an art critic for The New Yorker, he was my mentor, and he says that George Bush should paint more, and this is actually a really great thing, because it also introduces art to very conservative people, and it sort of expands people's minds. And actually, George W. Bush, the artist, is pretty good. Who knew?
Wow, I can't believe.
Speaking of great artists that are,
I still hate them.
Great artist Joni Sledge, the singer best known for the disco anthem "We Are Family." She is no longer with us. She has passed on, as African Americans like to say. She has passed.
Wait.
Right? Is that,
they don't like to say dead, right?
Why'd you look at me when you say that?
Well, I'm asking for verification, since you're African American.
I am.
Is that, do you agree or disagree?
I don't know. I need to ask Charlize Theron.
So
she's not really American, though, is she now?
She Americanized herself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I read somewhere that, like, when she was learning English, she purposely tried to do with an American accent.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Sledge, who formed Sister Sledge with her other sisters in 71, was found unresponsive at her home in Phoenix, Arizona. The cause of death is still unknown. It was a surprise to everyone. Her death was announced on social media on Saturday, a week before the group was due to perform in Los Angeles.
Aww.
So it's definitely...
What a great anthem.
Yeah, and really, like, We Are Family, man, that's one of the best songs. You listen to that today, and it's interpreted as a gay anthem. I don't know if they... thought so of that, but I think, like, when we, you know, we always
a lot of gay anthems were always interpreted, you know what I mean? Like, I think it was only, like, the Village People and a couple of people who was like, this is for gay people, but a lot of it was, like, people we identify with, and we kind of just, like, took them underneath our wing. It was like, thank you.
Well, before Michael Jackson, and I would argue that Michael Jackson sort of, like, broke down a lot of barriers when it came to race in popular music.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of African-American musicians were sort of categorized and put in this bucket of black music, you know? And I think, like, regardless of race, and still are, but certainly, like, a lot of LGBT people, especially gay men living in New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco and Chicago, really, you know, said this is our music, too. And so songs like We Are Family were embraced. And, you know, we shared similar spaces. We worked similar jobs. We occupy similar places in society. And so, you know, black culture is LGBT culture and vice versa.
A lot of it's funny that you say that, too. A lot of, like, the big old school club, even drag anthems were, like, if you really found out what the song was about, like, some of them were, like, gospel church songs, actually, that were, like, turning to club hits, like This Joy and a couple other I can't name off the top of my head. It's like, oh, they were, like, church songs, but they got turned into gay anthems.
We Are Family is the first song that Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards wrote together, and they worked for a record label, which the Rolling Stones and Bette Midler was on it, and the guy that had the record label wanted them to write for some of those bigger acts, but they're like, no, we want to write for some of the least established acts on the record label, so that if this song becomes a hit, like, it's to our credit. Like, if we write a song for the Rolling Stones, they're just going to be like, hey, it's a Rolling Stones hit, but we wanted something like that. And I guess they came up with the idea of We Are Family for Sister Sledge because they, like, talked to the band and they're like, we're family. And so, like, that's why they did the song like that.
I got all my sisters and me.
And that's smart, too, because royalties and money and credit. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Nile Rodgers is probably responsible for like 70% of your favorite music on your portable media player right now. I mean, he penned.
For, maybe for me, not for.
Because
I'm in
a lot of people.
I'm in
a
weird.
Lot of people. Like, you think so? People aren't even aware of this man is probably one of the greatest musicians of the 20th century. And he most recently, his biggest hit was Get Lucky with the robot guys from France.
Mm-hmm.
What is
Daft Punk?
Daft Punk.
Daft Punk.
The robot guys from France.
That'd be a good.
Wasn't he in their video?
A good parody.
I think
name.
So. I mean, Nile Rodgers worked with Madonna. With
yeah, he's Donna in the video. He's Summer. In the video with Pharrell
Ginger
Williams.
Ginger Minj,
and he worked with Ginger Minj of all people recently.
Really?
On her album.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. So that's, you know, he's not all his songs are hits, but you know.
Even like even really, really big artists like Prince, people don't realize like how deep his music really, really goes. And like people are just now, of course, after his death, are discovering like how behind the scenes he was on like some of the biggest hits. Like, yeah, it's commonly known that he wrote Nothing Compares to You. But then there's like a whole bunch of other instances like that was like Prince wrote that song. Prince produced that song. What?
Yeah, there's a couple I was kind of surprised when those came out. His songs.
There's like, some wow. Bjork songs. I was like. Wait, Prince did that?
Really?
What? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Give me a C. C. Give me an H. H. Give me an I. I. Give me a C. C. If your friends are chic, consider yourself unique. Just one favor we ask. We hope that you stay a freak. You remember that song? Everybody strut.
That's in Wigstock, isn't it?
That's in Wigstock. Lady Bunny's like, no, you're getting it all wrong. You're fucking up the song. She's got these dancers dancing, and they're all dancing to the song Chick Shear by Nile Rodgers and his group Chic. And it's this amazing song. You know, because Nile Rodgers is really known for that those bass lines that just really permeate throughout a song. And that song is just one of these great anthems from the 70s and 80s that in the movie Wigstock permeates.
I gotta watch that again.
It's one of the greatest documentaries about drag and, you know, Wigstock and Paris is Burning is kind of like mandatory.
I just watched that again.
Paris is Burning. It's,
they had it off of Netflix for a while, but they just put it back on.
And there's, a progenitor, a new documentary called Kiki that sort of like examines the lives of people in the ballroom scene and the Kiki scene in New York City 20 years later. And sort of, you know, how some things have changed a lot and some things have not still stayed the same. And the struggle is still real for a lot of people. And so hopefully we'll get to talk to Twiggy Pucci Garcon, one of the co-writers and co-stars of the
co-producers, film. Co-producers, I guess, right?
Co-producers of the film Kiki.
I'm interested in seeing that because I know that one of the big ballroom spaces, Esquilita, that closed down a couple of years back, which I was like, that's like a New York staple.
Well, that's closed down. I want to say in the last year it closed down, and the guy that owned it was murdered.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, I think he was strangled by a... A massage sex? Therapist, sex worker, damn. I think. I forgot exactly.
It just sucks because I've always wanted, because like growing up as like a gay man and especially trapped in Nebraska, like all I had was like the internet and those like one of the places I saw that was like that always popped up. Like Lady Bunny, she had a show there. And she
loves Latin dick.
She does.
And it was like one of my she'll like kind of like check marks of like the visit, so that when I heard it closed down, I was like, that sucks.
I think now it's somebody was telling me like a Thunder from Down Under is in there or something, like a male strip show or something. I don't know.
Isn't that just like, you know, some of these cool venues and then they just turn into like tourist traps?
Yeah.
Ugh. You know,
and it was a big space in New York.
Yeah.
A large space.
Like a lot of, if you go online, you look up a lot of Vogue videos, like all those, probably about 70% of them were filmed in Esquilita. Like that just like a lot of the big legendary ones that are still in rotation 7 years later.
They paved Paradise and put up a stripper joint, I guess.
God, it's so sad.
Now you're working on a new show. That's inspired by the Muppets.
Yes,
which I think is a great theme.
Yes,
furry. So you're So all the girls in this show, they were asking, which Muppet do you want to do? Do you want to do Prairie Dawn or Rosita?
Miss Piggy.
As long as it falls under Jim Henson adjacent. So he was like production or his name was on it or whatever for Geek House. That'll be next Friday.
Next Friday at Berlin?
At Berlin on the 24th. That's when I have a lot of shows next month, but next week. But
are you going to have like a arm coming out of your ass? That should be your costume. Just
arm coming out of your ass. No, I told him already what, and I've wanted to do this for years. I'm really, really pumped. Yeah. My idea for the show, what I want to do is I want to be the, I forgot her damn
Marjorie.
Name. Marjorie, the talking trash heap from Fraggle Rock.
And in the Fraggle Rock, they worship the trash heap.
Yes,
just like the trashy drag queen.
Because she also had she could see into the future. She had psychic powers.
Because she's Jewish too.
Yeah, she's Jewish, and she had the two rats who
Marjorie.
They would sing with her, and she had those giant, dirty pink glasses.
Do you have the glasses yet? Because that's the key.
Yeah, that is the key.
Order that shit on Amazon. I know, before right, you forget. Do you have Prime?
Yes. Like I said, I was not kidding when I said Amazon Prime has saved my life. Like, I need some gloves. Mm-hmm. I need a hair barrette. I need... It's there in like a day.
Oh, I got to put our Amazon link up there. I'm going to put our links up there so you do your affiliates. Just go to feastoffun.com/affiliates.
Affiliates.
No, don't make it difficult.
I could be like
and copy those links, and every time you go to Amazon, or I don't know how often it takes, is use those links, and we get a little bit of money from it.
A little bit of money. We would be your nonprofit that you buy from, basically. You know, I think with Amazon, you can donate some of your purchases to a nonprofit.
Yes,
usually like HRC or something.
I could be like my porn star friends and jack off on underwear and put it on my wish list. Like, here's some nasty underwear. You want my?
Listen, for the right price, I'm willing to do that. So
we had a
buy me a 72-inch plasma TV.
one of our listeners who listens for years, Seth Santoro and the other Santoro.
I know who you're talking about.
Well, that's his real name.
Yeah.
I don't know
So they're
Billy
huge.
Billy and Seth.
Yeah, Billy and Seth Santoro. So they basically, like, I think he sold his cum-covered underwear to somebody who donated for a Kickstarter that we did.
Yay!
Which I was I was really touched.
Are you crying?
I was like, that really means a lot. Because, his fans, like, he's a huge name in porn and he believes in us and the projects that we do, and he donated his cum, and
he's huge.
Like, he says on Twitter and Instagram outrageous things like, I just feel like the cum of young twinks keeps me young.
Wow. Take all the loads, that Billy. Emma Styles, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and kicking.
Thanks for having me here again, guys.
The drama.
I hope that bringing up all these demons of our community hasn't sort of
I don't think
broken any
demons.
Bridges or, and we're saying bring all this stuff in good faith and hoping that, all the queens sort of get to where they want to be and express themselves as faithfully and true to themselves.
You sound like Jerry Springer at the end of the episodes when he's just like, when he does his little
talk. That's another check mark. I moved to Chicago wanting to always be an audience member of the Jerry Springer
show. Now
you moved
to Connecticut.
Ugh.
We went to see one.
We saw one. It was stupid. It was terrible.
It's like going to a monster truck rally.
It's all fake.
Well, was it like, okay, stop, freeze, or was it just like a big,
I wanted to be a big old mess. It was very unexciting for us. It was just, oh my God.
I thought it was very well executed, but definitely
it was a well-greased machine.
Yeah. And like,
it's just not my cup of tea.
Jerry Springer comes out and he talks to the audience. So the audience isn't yakking at him while they're taping the show.
Yeah. He doesn't stand. And that was very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I am a rich Jew. I have so much money.
Looks good. Speaking of, we were talking about Black doesn't crack earlier. He looks very good for his age.
Yeah, he's probably pumped.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You'd look good, too, if you had access to Madonna steroids.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of cup of teas, does this trigger you? Have you seen it?
He hasn't seen the movie.
No, I haven't seen the movie yet. No, but all these fucking memes online are fucking
the Get Out movie,
spoiling the movie. I wanted to see it because
go see Get Out.
See it.
And you know what's funny? I was told
take a friend with you.
I was A lot of people in the black community were actually afraid to go see that first.
They should be.
Well, before the reviews came in, because they thought it was going to be the opposite of what it is. They thought it was going to be like this big old, like, oh, here we go. The black person gets killed and he's going to be all hunky, you know, whatever dumb stereotypes. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out it's kind of like the opposite of that in a way.
Before you go see the show, get on your iPhone and set a reminder to flash yourself at the end of the movie with your phone.
Oh, yeah, in case you get hypnotized.
So just so you'll get over, because you might not remember. You'll be like, why does my phone want me to flash myself? And then he's like, well, I'll just do it. And then you'll know.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.